Today's daf is Erchin Daf Chav Gimel. We are holding at the Mishnah and Daf Chav Gimel Amaral. So says the Mishnah, Hamakdish Nechasa Vahaisa Lav Ksubas Isha. Let's say a person is Makdish all of his Nechasim and he owes money for his wife's Ksuba. So he only owes money if he gets divorced for his wife's Ksuba. So Reblazer Omer Kshi Garshena Yidor Hana'a. So technically speaking, the Ksuba, he was Meshuba to pay the Ksuba before he was ever Makdish the Nechasim. So really, Meikar Adin, as soon as he gets divorced, the wife should be able to take all the money from Hegdish. So Reb Lezer says, we're concerned that he might do the following trick. He's going to be Makdish as a Chasim, and then he's going to realize, oy vey, what did I just do? I have no ability to access any of my Chasim anymore. It all belongs to Hegdish. How could I possibly get it back? So he's going to come up with an Eitzah. He'll divorce his wife. His wife will collect her Ksuba from Hegdish. Then he'll remarry his wife, and Mele, all will be good, and he'll be able to have his Nechasim back. So Reb Lezer says, when he divorces her, he needs to take a Neder Hana'a, that he's not going to get any Hana'a from her anymore. Rashi says, Yidor shalo yachzirena liolim. He has to take a neder that he's not going to be machzir her, that he's never going to remarry her. Because we're afraid he's trying to pull a shtick over here that he's going to divorce her and she'll collect her ksuba and then he'll remarry her. Rabbi Shua Omer inotzar. Rabbi Shua says that's unnecessary. He does not need to take this neder. There's no such concern. Why there's no such concern? We're going to have four opinions in the Gemara. What exactly Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua are arguing about? What Nekudas HaMachlokas is. But a very similar concept, Kayotze B'davar Amr Meshum Gamliel, as Af HaAriv L'Isha B'Ksuba. So let's say you have a man who is a co-signer for, takes responsibility for the woman's Ksuba if the husband can't pay it, via Baila Megarsha, when the husband divorces her, Yadirena Hana'a. He has to take a Nedra Hana'a that he's not going to get Hana'a from the wife. Shema Yasek Kunun Yal Nechasim Shel Zev Yachzir Zishtel. Maybe they're short on funds, the couple's not doing so well financially, so they figure we have an Eitzah. He'll divorce his wife. She'll be able to collect the Ksuba money, not from the husband. He has nothing, so she'll have to go to the Arev. She'll collect it all from the Arev. Then he'll remarry her, and all will be good, and they'll have that money. So that's where Meshum Gamliel's concerned. Very similar to Rabbi Lezer's concern. Now, from Rashi over here, it sounds like the neder that the guy takes is at the time of the gerushin, and Beis Din, who's mesader the get, makes him take the neder, and that's in fact what the Rama writes in a tshuva, in the Shal's Tshuva Sarama. He writes that same thing that it's in Siman Lamed Gimel that it's the Beis Din at the Shas HaGerushin. The Rama adds that l'chadchila Beis Din should really do it before the gerushin. But if the gerushin already happened and they didn't make him take the neder, the woman would still be allowed to collect the ksuba. We're not going to stop her from collecting the ksuba. It's like ain't suffik motzi mi devada. It's a suffik whether they're doing some sort of trick. But vada, he owes the money for the ksuba, meaning the real shibud is for the ksuba. And he's medaik this from a comment that Abaye is going to have later in the Gemara, where Abaye says, Atu called the Megarish Bebedina Megarish. What? Do you think everybody's going to get divorced? Is going to get divorced in Beis Din? Meaning to say that if they're not Megarish in Beis Din, there never would have been a Hana'a and they could still pull this trick. So it sounds like you could still get the money. But Lechora, why does that make any sense? If they were not Megarish Bebeis Din, you could be Madir the Baal right now when the woman comes to collect the Ksuba. So it must be that Abai is assuming different, that if they're not Megarish at the time of the Gerishin, if they're not Madir at the time of the Gerishin, they can't be Madir later on either. That's it. That's the one opportunity where we force him to be Madir. After that, you can't force him to take any sort of neder. That's how the Rambam writes. But the Rambam seems to say that he could be nodra anamimena at the time that he pays the ksuba. So makdish kol nechasav, and then he's megarish his ishto, and she collects the ksuba from someone who's padur from hegdish. Eino gova achi adirena hanah. The Rambam says that the neder hanah is not at the shas gerushin; it's at the time of the gvias haksuba. So it could even be after the shas gerushin. Not sure exactly what he does with the Rambam's raya from that line in the Gemara of Abaye. Now Tosus asks a very simple question. He says, "Why are we matir the Baal? He's not doing anything. He doesn't want that the woman should collect the ksuba from Hagdish. Adraba, we should be koneis the woman that she should take a neder, that because she's the one that's collecting from Hagdish, that she should take a neder that she's not going to remarry the husband, because she's the one that's actually taking the money from Hagdish. The husband's not the one that's doing anything." So it also says, no, but since the chashash is that the Baal is the one that's making this kanunya al Hagdish, he's the one that did something wrong, he's the one that put us in this position in the first place, maybe we make him take the neder, even though to achieve what we're trying to accomplish, we could have just as easily been didn't madir the woman. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter b'mayka miflugi. So ask the Gemara, what exactly is the nekuda samachlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua? So the Gemara is going to suggest four possibilities. Possibility number one: Rabbi Eliezer savor adam osa kinunya ala hegdish, Rabbi Yoshua savor ein adam osa kinunya ala hegdish. Rabbi Eliezer holds a person will make a kinunya on hegdish, will make a trick to extort money from hegdish, and Rabbi Yoshua says no, people don't mess around with hegdish. They might do tricks in order to get money from other people, but from Hegdish, that they're going to lay off of. But that which Rav Huna says, that if a Shchiv Mirah is makdish all of his properties, and he says that I owe certain money to so-and-so, and therefore that money should be taken from Hegdish and given to so-and-so, Neman, we believe him, and we take the money from Hegdish and give it to that party, because apparently we do have this chazaka that people don't mess around with hegdish, they're not going to make a trick on hegdish. So now you want a taina that that's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shua, and it turns out that when Rav Huna says that if we have a chazaka, a person's not going to make such a kanunya, he's only going with the sheet of Rabbi Shua. He's going against the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. Turns out he's on the right side of things, because normally Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar, we're going to pass on Rabbi Shua because Rabbi Elazar Shemutehu. But still, we'd rather not say that Rav Huna is taking sides in a machlokas tanaim unless we have to say so. So it says, well, Adkan lo pligi ala bibari. They only have a machlokas when it comes to a bari, when it comes to someone who's not a shchiv mira. Avol b'shchiv mira, divrei akol ena demosa kinunya ala hegdish. The machlokas whether a person would try to extort money out of hegdish is only by a healthy person. But someone who's dying anyway, everyone would agree would not try to get money out of hegdish. My taima ena demchote v'lo lo. He's not going to be here to enjoy it anyway. People don't sin if they have nothing to gain from their sins. So anyway, first explanation of what the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua is whether a person makes a kanunya al hegdish. Does a person try to make a trick to get money out of hegdish? And the Gemara says, and it could be that by a shchiv mira, everyone would agree that he would never make such a trick, and the whole machlokes is only by a bari. Tosos raises the following kasha. He says, why isn't a bari nema to say mana leploni biyadi? You don't have to assume that he's making a kanunya al hegdish. If he really wanted to get the money from hegdish, he could always be shoel on his hegdish, like Basil holds that we're going to see soon, that there is a din of she'ela behegdish we're going to have right before the two dots. So why don't we just assume, how can you assume he's going to make a kununya? If he really wanted to get the money out of hegdish, he could just undo his whole vow to dedicate his money to hegdish. He could just be shovel on it. So Tosa says, that's true, he could, but it's much easier to say manal plone biyadi than to actually do a proper she'ela ala hegdish. So we're choshesh that he chose this path because it's the easier of the two paths. The Ramban and the Melchamo suggest, no, maybe we're talking about a case where he can't be shoel. For instance, we're talking about where he's makdish kol nechasav al das rabim, where it's impossible for him to be shoel. There's no din of she'ela if he was done al das rabim. But if he's makdish stam, then of course he's neman to say manal plone biyadi, because if he would have wanted to make a kununya, he would have been able to be shoal. But we're talking about a specific case where he wasn't makdish tam, he was makdish al das rabim. The Rashba writes that it could be that we're talking about where he was already given over to the Gizbar, where it's too late to be shoal ala hegdish. Meaning what these other Rishonim, other than Tosfos, are saying is that enochinami, if he could be shoel, then we don't suspect any kanunya, because why would he do kanunya? Let him just do it beheter, by being shoel on the hegdish. So these Rishonim come up with cases where it's too late, where it's impossible for him to be shoel, and that's the only case of the Gemara. That's how the Rashba and the Ramban seem to assume. Tosa says, no, even though he theoretically could be shoel, we're still choshesh he's going to make a kanunya al hegdish, because it's an easier thing to do, to make a Kanunyal Hagdish. Okay, that was all answer number one. Answer number two, what are Rav Elazar and Rav Shua arguing about? Ika da'amri, bibari dukuliyam lo pligi, adamos kanunyal Hagdish. Everyone would agree by a bari that a person does try to deceive Hagdish. What are they arguing about in our Mishnah then? Vahacha ben neder shuhuda berabim kamiflugi. Mar savar yesh lo afara, umar savar ein lo afara. They're arguing about a neder that's hudar berabim, that's taken publicly, whether there's hafara. If you say that there's yesh lo afara, It's not gonna help to make a kanunya ala hegdish. But if you say ein lo afar, so that's the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Is it necessary to be nodar hana, or is it not necessary to be nodar hana? Is all about the relative strength of a neder shehudar berabim. So says the Gemara, the Ibayisema, or it could be that they're arguing about the Kuli Alma Neder Shu Debarabim Yesh La Hafara. Everyone agrees that in Neder Shu Debarabim there is Hafara. V'hach Neder Shu Dar Al Das Rabim Kamiflagi. Over here, it's not about Neder Shu Dar Bi Rabim. It's Neder Shu Dar Al Das Rabim. Person says, my Neder hinges on the Das of a multitude of people. So what's the difference between Hudar Birabim and Hudar Al Dasram? So first of all, Hudar Birabim, there is a machlokas in the Gemara Maseches Gittin, what exactly a Rabim is for Neder Shehudar Birabim. Gittin Mem Vavim and Aleph, whether it's 3 people or 10 people, how we define an actual Rabim. The Chassam Sofer in Gittin says that if you hold that Bifnei Shlosha is already considered Bifnei Rabim, that's only Midrabanan. But Minat Torah, you would still be able to be Mefer. The din that you can't be Mefer would only be Midrabanan. But if you hold that as Bifnei Asara, then even Minat Torah, it would be Ein Lo Afara. But Aldas Rabim is a different word. Aldas Rabim is not just... See, Birab means... I'm so serious about it that I'm willing to say it publicly. So that shows an extra strength of seriousness in my neder. That's birabim. Aldas rabim is not just that I'm so serious about it, I'm willing to say it publicly, that I'm making the neder with the approval and with the das of all these other people that I'm identifying. So these other people are part and parcel of the neder itself. Why can't I be made for Aldas rabim? Because I don't have their... They were part of the neder. I might undo my das, I might change my mind, but I can't change their mind. When it's birabim, it has nothing to do with their minds, it just shows a certain level of seriousness. That's why aldas rabim is stronger than birabim. There is a machlokas rishonim, Tosfos Masechet Gittin writes, what if you convince everybody to change their minds? What if you take a neder shudar aldas rabim, and then you lobby all of them, and they all decide they're going to be matir the neder? So Tosfos says, good, then you can undo it. Then even aldas rabim you can undo it. The whole point is that you have everybody's das in the neder. When you have everybody's das in, you can get everybody's das out, and that would work. The Rashba says that even if all the rabbim is maskim to be matir the neder, still we wouldn't be matir the neder, because each person's charata might be different. One person's pesach for charata might be a different cheshbon than the other person's, and mainly you don't have the same. You can't be matir such a neder because it's not one hatara, it's not one charata. And not only that, when the noder made the rabbim his shliach. He made them the shliach to aser himself. He did not give them the power to make things mutter again. So maybe they don't have that kind of authority, even if they want to change their minds. And furthermore, how could the rabbim have charata if this Pesach, they're going to say, had we known, what's charata? Had we known factor XYZ, we never would have taken the neder. Well, the rabbim didn't take the neder, this guy took the neder. What, had we known factor XYZ, we never would have allowed him to take the neder? He was taking the nether. You can't allow him or disallow him to take a nether. He's taking a nether one way or the other. So what kind of role could the rabbin play? So that's why the Rashba disagrees with the Shita of Tosos, and the Rashba says that even if you get all the rabbim to agree that they want to undo the nether, you still can't undo the nether. The Ritva and the Ran write that the reason that a nether al das rabbim has no atara is not because you're told of the nether and the das. It's very similar to nether shuhudar bir rabbim, the Ritva and the Ran hold. That it's just shows a stronger das, a stronger seriousness in your statement of neder, that you're much more serious about the neder itself. Now, what is the definition of rabbim? We have machlokes in the Gemara. What the definition of rabbim is for birabim? What about aldas rabbim? What's the definition of rabbim? So Rashi and Shavuos and Tosfos and Masechet Gittin say that aldas rabbim is even aldas shnayim. You don't need 3 people. That even aldas 2 other people. The Rashi and Gittin writes that even though neder shudar birabim you need 3. That's because neder shudar birabim shows a level of seriousness. Neder shudar aldas rabbim. We just pointed out the Shitas HaRashba is that you're being mevatel your das to their das. So as long as you have people who are more nominally have more das than you, because you have 2 people versus your 1 person, so then you're being mevatel your das to theirs. If it's only 1 other person, so we don't assume you're actually going to be mevatel your das to one other person's das. But the Ritva and the Ran l'shitasam, the Ritva and the Ran who hold that neder shudar al das rabim is just the same kind of thing as neder shudar b'rabim, that it's it expresses a level of seriousness. So they say you need three, just like a neder shudar b'rabim, that it would be the same din in terms of the number as well. Okay, says the Gemara, Vela Hadamar Amemar, Neder Shuta Birab, Yeshla Afara, Aldas Rab, Mainla Afara, Lemek Tanayam Lashmite. Well, if we want to say that the Machlokas is about a Neder Shuta Aldas Rabim, so when Amemar said matter of factly that a Neder Shuta Birabim, you can be Mayfair, Aldas Rabim, you cannot be Mayfair, was he assuming like a Machlokas Tanayim? Was he locking himself into a Machlokas Tanayim? Vesu, Rabbi Shua Omer, Eno Tsarich, why would Rabbi Shua say you don't need to take such a neder, ain't no mawil mi bayle. What Rabbi Shua should say is, such a neder is not going to help, because you could always be made for such a neder. So even though it's a neder shuta birabim or al das rabim, that's what Rabbi Shua should say. What are you helping yourself? It's not going to solve any issues. That's why Rabbi Shua doesn't see a reason to take such a neder. So that's why the Gemara says maybe there's something else that they're arguing about. So again, this is now going to be possibility number four. Possibility number one was they argue whether a person would trick Hekdesh. Possibility number two is that they argue whether neder shuhudar birabim is yesh la'afar or not. If it's yesh la'afar, there's no point in taking the neder, and that's Rabbi Shua's shita. If it's ein la'afara, there is a point in taking the neder, that's Rabbi Elazar's shita. Possibility number three is they're arguing about neder shuhudar al das rabim, whether it's yesh la'afar or not, and again the same machlok. Now possibility number four, elahacha b'she'elu de hektish kamiflagi, over here they're arguing about being shoel on hektish. Rabbi Elazar holds that you can't be shoel on hektish to a chacham, and even if you tell the chacham lo ladaske nadarti, it was hektish taus, I didn't mean to do it, still the chacham cannot be mati your neder. So therefore, the guy is megarish his wife, and he has regret about the fact that he was makdish his nechassim, and he can't. The chacham is not going to be able to do anything. So that's why he makes this kanunya. Meaning, the point is, he makes this kanunya because he has no opportunity to be shoel. If he would have been able to be shoel and undo his hektish, he would have done that. But he's going to make this kanunya because he can't. He can't be shoel on hektish. That's what Rabbi Elazar holds. And Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, if he really wanted to get his money back, he would just be shoel on the hektish. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds, you may be shoel on hektish. So the whole machlokas is, does he have another option? Aside from making this kanunya, aside from divorcing his wife, does he have another option? So Va'atanya, and this Va'atanya is benichusa, that it's a raya, hamakdish nechasavai, of Ksubasisha, Rabbi Elazar Mekshum Garshi Yidar Anah. Rabbi Shua Amar Einu Tzarech. Rabbi Shua says you don't need to make a neder anah because we don't suspect any kanunya. Because why would we suspect any kanunya? If you really wanted your money back, you would just be shoel on your hegdish. Rabbi Shimon, hein divrei Beishamai, hein divrei Beisilel. This machlokas is precisely the machlokas Beisham Beisilel. She Beishamai Yom Hegdish Tos. Hegdish. Beishamai says there's no being shoel on hegdish, even if you claim later it was too bad, it's still going to be hegdish. And Beisil would say hegdish tos does not count as hegdish. It's not too bad. You could still be shoel on the hegdish. So it turns out Rabbi Elazar is going like the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Shua is going like the Beis Hillel. Now, typically speaking, we don't like to lock anybody into the shitas Beis Shammai, but Rabbi Elazar adraba, we want him to be like the shitas Beis Shammai because we know Rabbi Elazar shamutehu. Rabbi Elazar was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, so it actually works out perfectly. And Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah is going exactly like the Shita of his Rebbe, like the Shita of the Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Shua is going like the Shita of the Beis Hillel, which is normally the Halach anyway. The Chener Mishum Gamliel Omer, and the Mishnah then said, Mishum Gamliel similarly said that if there's an Arev on the Ksuba, if a man divorces his wife, we're also suspicious of the fact that they're just trying to get the money out of the Arev, and that they would then get remarried. So he has to take a neder that they're not going to do any such thing. So the Gemara tells us a story. Moshe Bar Itzri Arva de Kalasehav. We once discussed this story on a Friday night from Rav Zilberstein. Moshe Bar Itzri Arva de Kalasehav. Moshe Bar Itzri was the Arev of his daughter-in-law. So he was the co-signer for his son on his daughter-in-law's ksuba. Interesting that you have the name Moshe in Shas. We don't typically have the name Moshe. We don't find any Tanaim or Amoraim with the name Moshe. But this guy, this father-in-law, was named Moshe. Okay. Rav Huna Bereit Sur Merabanhava. And Rav Huna, Rav Moshe, Moshe's son was a Tzor B'mei Rabban, was a Talmud Chacham, Udchik Milsa, and he was struggling financially. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, why is Rav Huna struggling? His father's a rich man. If Rav Huna needs money, someone should give him a simple Eitza. Leka Denasvi Eitza L'Rav Huna, Deligrish L'Debitu, V'titva K'subasa Me'avua, V'lahadri Me'adri. Let Rav Huna divorce his wife and let his wife collect the ksuba from the shver, and then let him remarry her, and then they'll have the money. Why didn't someone give him that simple etza? But Rava says, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says that you have to take a neder anah if there's an arev. Rav Shmuel says you have to take a neder anah whenever there's an arev. The Abaye atu called the megarish beidina megarish, and Abaye would say, no, you could still get around that problem of neder anah. Just don't get divorced in Beis Din. If you avoid getting divorced in Beis Din, who's going to force you to take the neder anah? You could, wherever a man gives a get to his wife with shnei edim, that's fine. You don't need a Beis Din to give a get to the wife. There's a shita in the Yehuda that you do need a Beis Din. So they all ask in the Yehuda, this gemara is beferish, that atu called the megarish beidina megarish, so you don't need a Beis Din. So Rabbeinu Gershom writes over here on the bottom of the page, atu called the megarish beidina megarish, says Rabbeinu Gershom, afil b'fnei gimel hediotos yachal garish shenin yodin shetzarich ladira. So Rabbeinu Gershom understands you don't need a formal Beis Din, but an informal Beis Din you do need. You need gimel hediotos at least. It's not just good enough to have shnei edim. So there does have to be a Beis Din. We're makbid nowadays when we give a get that we put together a Beis Din. We put together three people. My brother once came. He was a shliach lahalacha of a get from California to a woman here in Cedarhurst. So he had me get three guys from the shul together to sit down and form a Beis Din so that they could give the get. Anyway. At the end of the day, they realized the reason Abaye's advice was not the best advice was that he was a Kohen. So divorcing his wife would have shut that door forever. He couldn't then just remarry her. So Amar Abaye, Basar Anya Aslan Yusus. Abaye says, man, what bad luck this guy has, that you know he needs this money and the only Eitza is not open to him because he's a Kohen. The Maral writes, the mashal of Basar Anya Aslan Yusa is if you have a kli that has a small crack in it, it's much easier to break it the rest of the way than if you have a kli that's not broken at all. That's the mashal of Basar Anya Aslan Yusa. But does Abaye really say this? Does Abaye say this is a valid Eitza? You're allowed to do such a thing? Abaye says the definition of a Rasha Arum, of a deceitful Rasha, is someone who gives such an Eitzah to get around, to get money from an Arev, and then remarries. That's exactly the definition of Rasha Arum. Says Gemara, Berei Shaini, V'tzor Merabanan Shaini. Over here, it's the guy's son. He should have been supporting him anyway. He should have been helping him out if the son was really struggling so much. Plus, he was a Talmud Chacham. So when you have, it's the fact that it's a son, and it's a Talmud Chacham, that changes the complexion of the case. Now the Ritva and Babas writes that according to the Teretz of the Gemara, someone who's Masi Eitzel Tamil Chacham to sell his Nechasim is not considered Rasha Arum, because the Gemara says that meaning someone's matzi eitzah to Talmud Chacham, even for non ksuba cases, similar types of eitzah would also be okay. It's not considered rasha arum because the Gemara compares the two dinim, the din of Shulam Liel, to the din of Kanunya of our Mishnah. So it turns out that just like the same heter that would apply over here would apply about being mocher nechasim as well, like Rav Shulam Liel, meaning the case of Rav Shulam Liel. If you look in Rashi over here, the bottom Rashi points out Mesachs Ksuvis Ha'omer B'Shas Misa Nichsay Lach Va'Acharayich Leploni V'Yarad Arishon U'Machar Rav Shmuel Liel Omer Ein L'Sheni Al Mashashir Arishon V'Achinami Avi Rasha Arum. That if a person says that at the time of his death that he's giving his nechasim to one person and then whatever's left to the next person, and the first one goes and sells it, so and his ochel, Rav Shmuel Liel says the Sheni only has what's left over from the Rishon, but by pulling such a trick he's a Rasha Arum. So even in that case, the Talmud Chacham would be different. You can give such Eitzah. But what we see from that Ritva is that even though the Gemara says that it was Mutter because it was his son and it was Talmud Chacham, the Ritva is only interested in the fact that it was Talmud Chacham. The Ritva says, yeah, Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to do such Eitzahs. So apparently the Ritva didn't think the fact that it was his son makes any difference. He thought the Gemara just mentioned that Agav Urcha, but really the whole Iker is that it was a Talmud Chacham. However, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not that way. In Shulchan Aruch, in Ebenezer, Simukov Beis, Siv Zayin, it says that in order for it to be Mutter to give such an Kedushin Eitza, it needs both conditions. It needs to be Talmud Chacham, and it needs to be his son. Says the Gemara, but typically, the Arev, the Ksuba, lo mishtabed. Why don't we just say that an Arev and a Ksuba, there's no Shibud for an Arev and a Ksuba, so it's not going to work anyway over here. So the Gemara says, Kablan Hava. No, he's a Kablan, that it was a much stronger form of being an Arev, and therefore it's, the Shibud works even on the Ksuba. So says the Gemara, Hani, Chalaman, Diyamar, Kablan, Aval Gav, Delesin, Chasim, Lov, mishtabed. That works out very well if you assume that a Kablan, when the Lov has no Nechasim, is a Meshuba to pay the Ksuba. But if you hold a kablan only is mishabid himself when the lover himself has nechasim at the time of the loan. But when the lover doesn't have any nechasim at the time of the loan, even a kablan is not mishabid himself. So then what are you going to say? What's going over here? It seems Rav Huna was always poor. He never had any money. He got married without any money, and the kablan, the father, was the kablan on the ksuba. But it's not going to create a shibud. So Gemara says a couple of possibilities. Number one, Ibai Yisema Rav Huna Havalei V'shtadav. Who says Rav Huna was poor when he got married? Maybe Rav Huna had money when he got married, so that created the Shibud of the Kablan as well. The Kablan's Shibud is going to take effect as long as the lover himself has money at the time of the loan. So here at the time of the Ksuba, he had money. So that could be the case. That's why the father really became a binding Arev. Ibai Yisema Abba legabe berei shibda mishabed nafshei. Or it could be that a father legabe his son is always going to be mishabed himself, meaning even in a situation where a kablan would not be mishabed himself, but for a father, for a son, he's always going to be mishabed. Di'itmar ariv de ksuba de rekol lo mishabed, because we have a beferish that an ariv of ksuba, everyone assumes, is not mishabed himself. He's just trying to do a mitzvah to make the shidduch happen. Kablan de balchov divrei hakol mishtabed. A kablan on a balchov, everyone agrees, is mishtabed. So we took two extremes. An arev of a ksuba is two factors pointing in the direction of not being mishabed. Number one, it's only an arev, it's not a kablan, and number two, so it's a lesser form of co-signing. And number two, it's only an ksuba where he's likely just trying to get them married. On the other hand, the other extreme is the kablan de balchov, where there's no mitzvah involved by the balchov, and it's a kablan, it's a stronger form of arev, so that for sure is mishubad. Now, what about the middle cases? What about when you have one factor and not the other? Arev de Balchov, if you have an Arev of Balchov, the lesser form of Achrayus, but for a Balchov where there's no mitzvah, or Kablan de Ksuba, Pligi, that's where we have Machlokas. Ikal Amandi Amar, Islay Nichse Lelova Mishtabed, Lesley Lom Mishtabed, Vikal Amandi Amar Afgav, the Lesley Mishtabed. So some say that those Shibudim will work only if the lover has nechasim at the time of the transaction, and others say no, even if the lover does not have money at the time of the transaction, that will work. V'hilchsu b'kulu, and the halach is by all these cases, avlagav de lesley nami mishtabed, in all four of these cases, even if he doesn't have any money at the time of the transaction, there is a shibud, except for the one case, lebar me arev duksuba, where you have both things working against you, working against the idea that there will be a shibud, where it's an arev, so it's a lower form of responsibility, and it's a ksuba. The avlagav de islay lo mishtabed, even if he has money, he's not going to be mishabed himself. Even if the lover has money at the time of the loan, the arev is not going to be mishabed himself. My taima, why won't he be mishabed himself? Mitzvah ka'avid v'lo midi chasre, that he's just chasra, that he's just doing a mitzvah to be mezavig this couple, and she's not losing anything, so he doesn't feel the need. I mean, she never gave any money that she's going to lose, so he doesn't feel the need to bear responsibility for this ksuba. It's not like she gave anything that she's owed. But by a balchov, you feel bad. The guy's lending money, so you want him to actually get paid back. But over here, he's just doing a mitzvah to make the zivuk happen, to make the shidduch happen, but he's not really bearing any responsibility. Period. Hu gavra zavaninu l'nichse. There was a guy that sold his nechasim, v'kagarsha l'debitu, and he divorced his wife. Shalcha revealed. So now, we've discussed a case where a guy was makdish his nechasim. We discussed a case where a guy had an arev on his chiv ksuba. But over here, he sold his nechasim. Now, the wife's shibud comes before the sale. He was meshubud to the wife's ksuba when he got married. He sold the nechasim after he got married. So is this the same case? So that's the Gemara's question. Shalch Rav Yosef Breid Rav Papa, Arev Tanan, Arev we have in the Mishnah. Hektish tanan. Hektish we have in the Mishnah. Lokech mahu. What about a din of a lokech? Do we, when he divorces his wife, so she's going to collect this money from the lekuchos, does he need to take a neder? So says the Gemara, amalei tana kiruch l'nechshav nezel. Of course he does. Why would the Tana list every single possible case? Obviously, there are more cases where, whenever we have reason to suspect such a kanunya, you suspect such a kanunya. It doesn't have to give every single case. So now, da'i amri de tanan tanan, telo tanan lo tanan. And Nardai say, no, whatever it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah. Cases that it doesn't say in the Mishnah are obviously not included. So Amar Mashashi, my time at the Nardai, why would a Lokeach be any different than an Arev and then Hegdish? So Bishlam, a Hegdish, Mishum Revach, the Hegdish. Now, why are we going to make a Takana that he has to take a Neder by Hegdish? Because we don't want Hegdish to lose out. It's a special Takana for the good of Hegdish. Arev Nami Mitzvah Huda Avad Vlav Midi Chasrei. By an Arev also, we want the he's doing a mitzvah, so we don't want him to lose out. El lokech michti made the yada de kolchad v'chad ikal leksuba, but a lokech. The lokech should have taken this into account. A lokech knows when he's buying land from a married man that the married man likely has a ksuba that he owes his wife. That's meshuba to his wife. So my name is of Nizman. What do you have to go and buy the land for? So that's it's a risk that he's taking upon himself when he buys the land. So since he knew the whole situation in advance and he got himself involved, so that's why he's considered to be mafsid himself, and therefore the din of being choshish for kanunya would not apply to a situation of an arev. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Next Mishnah. Says the next Mishnah. Makdish nechasa vaisal of ksubas isho balchov. Let's say a person is makdish as nechasim and he owes money to his wife's ksuba and he owes money to someone that lent him money. The woman cannot collect her ksuba from Hegdish, nor can the Balchov collect his chov from Hegdish. So what do you mean? The whole last Mishnah was about the fact that he's going to osa kanunya because the woman is going to collect her ksuba from Hegdish, and then he's going to get remarried and they're going to split it. So what do you mean they can't collect? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, Ela poda poda al menas litein l'ishav ksubasa l'balchov eschovo. It means that the woman or the Balchov cannot collect directly from Hegdish. Rather, what do? We make the person who is makdish be poda from Hegdish for, now, if he has the money to be poda from Hegdish, then why do we go to Hegdish? Let him just pay the ksuba, pay the balchov. Mm-hmm. No, the point is, he's being poda at a lot less than the value. Hegdish shava mana, chilo shava pruta. He's taking a pruta and being makdish, Hegdish that's worth a mana, and then using that to pay the ksuba sishar to pay his balchov. So let's say he owes $20,000 to the balchov, and he has $5 to his name, so he takes the $5 and he uses that to get back his $20,000 from Hegdish, al menas that he's going to give that to the balchov, and that's what he does to pay off the balchov or the ksubas isha. Hikdish tishim mana vayichovo mea mana. Let's say he was makdish 90 mana, but his chov was actually more than that. His chov was 100 mana. So the Gemara will explain why we dafka choose a case where there's a discrepancy, because lechora this halacha is not to say this halacha is not necessary to choose such a case. Most of odina rupodas and lechasam elu almanas litin liishuk subasal balchov eschovo. Meaning when he's makdish, when he's poda from hegdish, you add an extra dinar. Meaning I don't have any money to be poda from hegdish, so the Balchov can say, here, take this and be poda from Hegdish. So he's going to, now he owes the Balchov another dinar in addition to whatever he owes him before. So let's say I'm able to get back 90 from Hegdish. Now I owe him, instead of owing him another 10, I owe him another 11 because he gave me one extra dinar to be able to be poda from Hegdish. So says Mar Lamali Memera poda poda. Why do we have to, so what is this idea that the poda, that the woman or the Balchov themselves cannot take it from Hegdish? They have a shibud. Why shouldn't they be able to take it from Hegdish? Why do we make it that only the guy who's Makdish himself has the ability to be poda from Hegdish? Says Rav Shmuel Rabbi Avoh, Dam Rabbi Avoh, Shelo Yomru Hegdish Yotzei Belo Pidyon. It's all because of Rabbi Avoh that people shouldn't say that Hegdish can go out without Pidyon in order to avoid such people saying that Hegdish can be taken without Pidyon. People aren't going to realize that it's because there was a previous Shibud over here. They're just going to think that, oh, you could take things back from Hegdish, that it doesn't need to be permanent. You can just take things back from Hegdish. So people should realize that there's a Pidyon process. Therefore, we make the guy who's Makdish actually do the Pidyon. Fine. Now, in the now going on the second part of the Mishnah, where we said that if he was makdish 90 mana, and his chov was 100 mana, meaning his chov was greater than the amount that he was makdish, the Mishnah assumes still there's a shibud on that which he was makdish. Meaning that why would there be a shibud? Because we're assuming that a person is somich das, when a person lends you $100, even though your property is only worth $90, he's somich das that at least $90 will be able to get back from that property. So he still relies on that property for getting his payment back. One could have argued that no, he's not relying on that at all, because he wouldn't be satisfied with just that property. He's relying on the fact that you'll have cash. And if you don't have cash, he never even had a havamina that that property was going to be used to pay back. So our Mishnah assumes that he is somich das on that property. So that's against Rav Shmuel Gamliel. The Tanya Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, ima yechovo keneged hekdesho poda. If the chov was worth as much as the hegdish, or the hegdish was worth more than the chov, then you could be poda, because then he's clearly somich das on whatever it is that you were makdish. But if the hegdish is worth less than the chov, then you don't have to be poda to pay back this loan, because the guy was never somich das on it in the first place. For Rabbanan ad kamen, the Rabbanan would disagree. How much of a discrepancy will they allow? How much will they say the hektish can be worth less than the chov and still assume that the guy had smichas das on that which you were magdish? So I'm Rav Huna bar Yudam Rav Sheshes ad palga, up until half. If it's less than half, then he doesn't even enter the equation. He never even thinks that that's going to go to pay off his chov. But if it's half or more, he assumes that that's going to contribute toward paying off his chov. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the Mishnah.